Hey everybody, Matt Michaels, Sin City Steve, and Rob Bustle Larry, Bacho Larry, Bacholashi, what's Varulashi?
What the fuck are you on?
I'm just trying to understand your last name there.
It's Botchmania.
Boss, yeah, I like that. I like that. There you go, Steve.
Change your handle. So Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. Next week, DJ Impact will be back, and we'll be back to Sunday night. But for now, we're going to talk a little wrestling that's happened this week, and start with the most important and dramatic thing that happened this week. Steve, did AEW have a television show? Like, if a tree falls and no one's around, does
hey, man. Any way you slice it, whether you want to blame it on the fucking, you know, the terrible lead-in, whether you want to blame it on any variety of things that I've seen, you know, people trying to use it as an excuse this week, it doesn't change the fact that AEW Dynamite had a record low 502,000 viewers on average, which is abysmal.
For a good show, too?
That's what I was about ready to say. It was a solid show. It was a very good 2 hours. But again, like you started to say, Matt, if a tree falls in the forest and no one's there to hear it, does it really make a sound? Well, I don't know. Realistically, they did everything that they should do on a professional wrestling show this week. They built up future matches. They told stories. There was solid wrestling. Ultimately, sources within Warner Brothers Discovery weren't all that worried or concerned about the low rating, even citing the low rating from the lead-in themselves. But still, this shit makes you wonder how long you can continue doing what you're doing until you run your entire base off. The 502,000, that is your core base of AEW fans. If we're not figuring in anything for a lead-in, then you have to figure 500,000 viewers is your core group. Anything above and beyond that is outreach and positive growth. So yeah, it sucks. They need to move on, but they cannot hotshot booking. They cannot make any snap crazy decisions. They just need to be logical with booking. Ha ha, I know, make your jokes. But the last 2 weeks have been very, very good. And I want to see more of the same.
You know, the one question though that I saw posted was regarding MGF and Roosh,
yep,
a decent enough match, but the question really is a solid one, and that is when you don't really build up a match like that, which could be a very interesting story leading up to a match like that, is that not one of the issues in terms of getting and retaining an audience? Instead of just having a good match, having a match that is built, that you invest that time and that, you know, that want to see. And quite frankly, we know that the hardest thing to do is to make it seem like when you have a guy like MJF, he's going to potentially lose, right? So you really have to build that idea that Roosh is a threat and will potentially beat him or actually have him upset him to then make people want to kind of invest into more of what's going on. I mean, how do you fix that?
They had to be done on the front end, and they didn't do that. This is AEW sin right now. When AEW just had Dynamite, there was long-term storytelling. There isn't long-term storytelling. There is one-week storytelling. And they're hoping that the fans will just want to see banger matches without having any development in the match. What did we just say off-air? I asked you guys what you'd like better, the Wyatt Six or the new Bloodline. And you said the Bloodline has become an institution. That's because of long-term storytelling. Every time I lose steam with them, they find a way to keep it fresh. AEW has nothing like that, even though they still have factions that have been with the promotion for two seasons. They've done nothing with those factions. I mean, we were supposed to be afraid of the Blackpool Combat Club. Their founder isn't even there anymore. Wheeler Yuta shows up after 6 months and he walks in with a belt on. I'm like, wait, weren't you supposed to be injured? So how are you holding a belt? It's just a bunch of non sequiturs with AEW because they do so much interactions and interplay with Ring of Honor, New Japan Pro Wrestling, and formerly TNA. They'll walk in with a gimmick that's halfway told, and I have no idea why they're at this point or why this guy's holding this belt. Or I have to go watch two other shows or three other lower AEW shows to understand what the fuck's going on. I don't have time for that. I want to know, if I'm watching Dynamite, last week on Dynamite, did you reference this? Okay. Did you reference it on Collision? Okay. You're not going to do it on Rampage because Rampage is really just Elevation or Dark at this point.
Yeah.
So what is the point? Oh, well, there's good matches. I'm losing interest in that, in the good matches. Yeah. I'm becoming a guy who plays the video game for the cool graphics, and I'm not paying attention to the details. Like, did you see what he hit on the top rope? And I'm like, I watched a wrestling match the other day where an 8-year-old kid put a guy in a DDT. I couldn't tell you anything that else had happened in that match except for the 8-year-old kid who won her dad a belt in Future Stars of Wrestling. Could I tell you all the other spots? No, I get completely wiped away by a little kid, right? It was good. But if I were to tell you, how did we get to that match? What was the genesis and the progression? I wouldn't know.
Yeah, that's fairly true. And congratulations, Danny Limelight, for becoming the new Future Stars of Wrestling heavyweight champion. Incredible showing, and his daughter is definitely a star. And
she is a future star of wrestling,
and she is going viral as we speak for that, and flipping off the referee when she got ejected from ringside.
That was awesome.
It was fucking amazing. That's
great.
She's just punching the dude until he rips her by the throat and lifts her.
It's awesome to see six security guards have to try to take a little kid out.
Yeah.
And then dad come over and just fucking wreck him. Stiff punches. It was fucking
beautiful. And the kid steals a belt and flips it to him.
Yeah.
He's the best valet I've ever seen.
Yeah. Absolutely, 100%. This is a year ago was her first time, I believe, ever with Danny to the ring in his wrestling career, and she made an impact then. And now she's helping him win titles. So, and he's out now in I think Connecticut filming a Lifetime movie that should be out either at the end of the year or early next year. So,
Danny Limelight.
Yeah.
Oh, but you see, you just
he does a lot of stunt work.
You knew a lot about the history of the guy, and you were able to explain a bit of how we got to where we are. With any AEW booking, will I understand further back than 2 weeks where a match came from or why these two are having heat?
Honestly, ask Danny Limelight; he'll give you the honest answer.
No.
Yeah. Exactly.
And the thing is, he'd probably be enhancement talent on AEW if they passed through Vegas. They would have him job out in 3 minutes. And you're like,
he was with them for a brief cup of tea.
He did stuff on Dark and Elevation during those days.
Yeah, he wrestled Omega, and there was some other high profile guys. They actually had him wrestle. Mm. So yeah, no, they had a chance at him. So, all right. So, you know, we know that the ratings are a little down, and we'll see if they bounce back. They're currently in Australia, this week. So we'll see if Australia helps them out a little bit, maybe rejuvenates everyone. Or after that flight, could be a train wreck. Just physically, just that's hell, man. So. But hopefully everyone does all right out there, and it's a good time for them. But, kind of look over to this past week. And let's look at NXT and the Battle Royal. You know, Joe Hendry stole the fucking show.
Say his name and he appears.
Yeah.
You know, that clip going viral the way that it did. I've seen, you know, some things saying that the entrance clip of him showing up has gotten more views on WWE's YouTube channel than any video that they've released since WrestleMania.
Is that so, over 7 million like the day after?
Yeah. Yeah. Insane. Huh. Like it obviously you got to figure that Sean and everybody in NXT are just, you know, loving this TNA partnership that they've, you know, sprouted as of late. Their prohibited portal is wide open.
Yeah, the prohibited portal.
The right. Back door. Damn it, he's letting them come through the back door.
Just ask old Poop Stain Patterson.
Oh God.
No, you know, and in turn, I'm sure that guys like Joe Hendry are very excited because,
without a doubt,
you know, when those contracts start coming up, you know, then NXT is a perfect place because at that point too, we're going to be on the CW, and it's just, you know, there's so much there. But what was interesting too is that Kazarian was the one who eliminated Hendry, which made sense. That's the first time we knew Kazarian was in the Battle Royal, and they mentioned him from TNA, which was very interesting because
they got rid of them. They all lifted him up.
No, it was Kaz because they specifically said, and Frankie Kazarian eliminated him from TNA, eliminated Joe Hendry. But that just shows you they cut out all those intros except for to give Hendry the mic time, and then for what's his face, the last entry. So, you know, they knew what they were doing with him in that sense, which is very interesting when you think about the fact of what we were saying about AEW, right? Here's an organization, it isn't even their fucking their guy. And they're smart enough to go, you know what? Fuck it. Let's play to his strength and then have his ass thrown out right away. So he looks strong on the mic, and then it looks like he was purposely targeted. Like you said, all the guys going after him. And then the TNA guy flips him out. So that gives them heat going back to TNA. How the fuck is that not
brilliant?
Like, brilliant. Yeah. It's fucking crazy. And then you give Kazarian a Final Four spot in that match.
And the thing is, now do you realize Kazarian within 1 year's time has been on like every major promotion?
Yeah. Absolutely. And Jericho's boat.
Yep.
So he's basically done everything you can do within the last year. And his band's pretty fucking good, too. So,
you know what? Yeah. He's like a KFC. He's bringing chicken wings everywhere he goes.
Dude, as long as Tracy and the kids are happy and, you know, the kids are doing good and she's doing good, Kaz is out doing what he loves to do, man. And it's great to see, you know, one of the young guys from back at UPW, now one of the elder statesmen who is respected enough for him to be booked in the Final Four. And then on top of it, you have Ethan Page not even make it into the Battle Royal because he gets attacked and then gets the main event and wins the main event. So we had TNA showing here. We had the AEW guy who came over, who is now just all of a sudden it's like, look at that motherfucker on the mic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's crazy. It's crazy what they've been able to do in that environment.
It's getting me to want to watch TNA, which I did not want anything to do with TNA.
NXT.
Yeah. I didn't get, but that's my point. I didn't even think of NXT as anything. I literally thought of it as like the WWE sloppy thirds, you know. And then I'm like, all right, there's great talent here, but I just okay. Now we're bringing together people I'm aware of that I was watching on the indies or the B shows. and they're integrating them so well. So if I didn't like NXT, I'm not going to watch these other guys elevate NXT. It's just fucking brilliant. With a couple of them, I wish they would go with their family's monikers. Lexi, can we know who the hell you are? You're Brian Pillman. Just be Brian Pillman. I get it, but just be him. Braun Breaker, just be a fucking Steiner. You did a Frankensteiner the other day that was insane. They're not calling it a Frankenbreaker. Be who you're supposed to be. I get it. You want to develop yourself and you're famous outside of that, but eventually they should do a storyline where those two guys come to the realization that they should just keep their family name. That's all.
Yeah, that's great. So we definitely have not had enough stories in WWE about bloodlines and family names and tradition. So I think they really should.
Gotta have more. Hey man, that's what draws the ratings, clearly. So fuck it. Why not?
Yeah, why not?
Have one on every show. You got to have
it for it. Or just have Lexi's King run around the backstage with a pistol.
Yeah, well,
you know.
Just
stay away from me. Stay away from me.
Oh my god, that's another Steiner. That's the 37th Steiner we've seen this week.
It's not like I'm asking them to put a chainmail like freaking skull cap on, you know. He could be.
I mean,
now if they gave Braun Breaker like Oakleys and chainmail like to wear, then that'd be one thing, you know. And
there you go.
You know, so in talking about the big brand, couple things. First, the Wyatt Six definitely met with a lot of general positivity. I think a lot of people are very interested to see what they do with it. The idea of the cinematic aspect of that debut had a lot of people excited. The idea of basically shooting people in the head.
Chad Gable, rest in peace.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got a little
someone actually updated his Wikipedia page to say that he died from a gunshot wound because of that shit.
And then he's got a purple bruise on his head with like a Band-Aid, and I'm like, they had to make it known like the first segment they could. By the way, he's all right. He's all right, and he's got security now.
Yeah.
He ain't dead.
Yeah. He ain't dead. But at the same time, boy, if you were wearing a black shirt last week on Raw and you were back in the production area, you were actually killed because all those production guys got fucking wiped out. The coolest thing about this was it was the NWO, but in that surrealistic, you know, like alien predator vibe of smoke and fucking shit firing. You know, it wasn't just, you know, three guys walking in a production truck and taking it over. No, it was these motherfuckers just apparently just went like that and everything just fucking went apart.
They have to be classier about it, like Okada when he gets into a truck. Oops, my fault, bitch.
So, dude. I mean, what were your thoughts then? Obviously, Raw just happened. What are your thoughts, Rob, on Mr. Howdy, kind of saying
that hello? Interview was so goddamn good because he asked one question. He goes, do you think you're taking advantage of your brother's name? I'm paraphrasing. Yeah. And I went, love that, because that's the elephant in the room. Are you milking somebody else's gimmick? And he goes, I don't have an identity anymore. I don't want him to be forgotten. He was honest with it. And if you do that out in the front, it prevents all the Dave Meltzers and the Jim Cornette, who hates it. He hates this whole gimmick. He thought this was just a cheesy gimmick. He thought it's too theatrical. They're not going to wrestle well in the ring. We'll find out. So good. 86 all the haters, cut them to the chase and go, yeah, I'm going to address this in a promo. And it was a great promo. And they're face-to-face. So it's not like when they did the side-by-side, Maybe that was another guy. Maybe they just did the dual camera mirror thing. It was brilliant. Absolutely fucking brilliant. I loved every second of it.
Yeah. And again, very reminiscent of something Bray would have done, right? Where it's just Bray was Bray, you know, like that funhouse persona, that regular guy. And then he was the psychotic asshole, you know, outside of that.
But to be face to face like that, the way they did that was something a little new.
Yeah. Oh, no, exactly. Exactly. But
he's answering himself. That's
right. And again, at the same time, he's touching on something his brother would have probably come up with. That's how brilliant. And, you know, the biggest thing is, regardless how they are in the ring, okay, you got to remember one thing. Bo Dallas was probably the most mishandled guy going from NXT to the roster because Vince fucking had no clue. Yeah. But Bo Dallas, he fucking made himself with that gimmick, which was it was a shitty gimmick that he made good. And I think that that's one of the things that people forget is because they didn't get to see enough of his actual, you know, Bray overshadowed him.
Yep.
So, and because he didn't want to, you know, that's the other thing too. That's the honesty of that interview is the fact that in that time frame, he didn't want to be part of the Wyatt family. He wasn't trying to latch on to that. He was, you know, comfortable trying to make that name for himself, and then he had to go away. And he could easily, again, Bray could have said, no, bring him in. So you got to respect the fact that this isn't being done just to capitalize off of Bray. This is literally someone who is going, you know what? This is my brother. This is his legacy. This is what he would have wanted. And again, to hit on it, Rob, family, another fucking family storyline.
Well, not now, but there's something that just crossed my mind. They call it the six. Obviously, we were talking about the six being Bray himself. But what if at one point, because he was technically a member, you tap Braun Strowman?
Oh, no. No. What has everyone forgotten? Who is the sixth guy? If Bray himself can't be physically there, who is the sixth guy? The fucking Fiend.
Oh, so you have somebody else come out as the Fiend?
You have Bo come out as the Fiend.
All right.
You can even do that. But
so he comes out as he's Uncle Howdy and the Fiend.
Bray was Bray and the Fiend.
They didn't put a number on it. I'm like splitting hairs, but that I don't have. But they never put quite a number on it. No.
And who knows? Again, who knows? Remember, this is all hyperbole from the internet coming up with this shit.
Yeah.
And you know, again, we'll see what happens. But does Strowman make sense? Not really. If anything, Strowman would make sense to fight him.
Right. If they bring anybody back who is affiliated with Bray, I think we'll see Alexa Bliss.
Yeah,
I don't think that they would bring back in Braun Strowman. These two
are gone. Was she ever having any plans of coming back and doing a new run?
Eventually,
She was rumored as being part of the group, you know, from the time that they had come up with the idea. But you know, I think that. You know, that could be one approach that they take. But again, it all remains to be seen once they ring the bell and we see how things go.
You go to TNA, you get Rosemary, and then you get Crazy Steve.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
My thing is this. Bray's style in the ring matched his insanity out of the ring. The cross bodies that he would do, the crab walks, the sister Abigail.
Yeah, but can we also say what has been said about Bray? And that was, people were absolutely, oh, The Fiend is the coolest, Bray is the greatest, bell rings, yep, and the match sucks.
Exactly.
Mm.
That's what I'm alluding to. I mean, we'll see how things go if, you know, if people are still fans of the mystique, fans of the gimmick, once the bell rings. And, you know, if we have a repeat of a Hell in a Cell match between Bray and Seth Rollins oh so many years ago that everybody just completely shit on, right, then, you know, then it's, or it's
Bray
not...
White when he got squashed by the Undertaker, when that Undertaker following year lost, and I go, oh, we need to squash somebody.
Squash Bray White. One thing to keep in mind, and, you know, this is probably not very controversial opinion, but Bo is a better wrestler than Bray was.
Yeah.
Bray is a great storyteller, wonderful storyteller, but Bo actually was a little more, you know, of a wrestler who could put on a good match. So
will he have ring rust?
No.
No. Definitely not.
No. No, these guys have been working, you know, behind the scenes. It's not like just, "Hey, come on in." They've been working.
The one I'm interested in is Dexter Lumis as the goat or whatever the hell that mask was he had, or was he the rabbit?
No, he was the buzzard.
The buzzard. Yeah.
The buzzard.
He was, yeah.
I thought he was the one with the tits.
I'm interested to see. I'd like to see him incorporate a bit
Joe Gacy
and come out with the axe. If he came out with the hatchet and incorporated a little bit of himself, Sam Shaw on his own is freaking psychotic. So he's a great choice for that faction. And they're, you know, a little bit more darker than Judgment Day. So how does that eventually, those two, you know, hemispheres have to collide?
Judgment Day is not dark anymore.
No.
You know, I think the thing, Judgment Day is, you're starting to see kind of where that is kind of evolving itself into something else now. And oh my God, you know, if you can take two people going back 3 or 4 years and you go, you know, I really think that I'm going to enjoy loving watching Liv Morgan and Dominic Mysterio work together, I would have said, shoot my fucking skull twice. I'm that fucking stupid and insane. But holy shit, it is fucking fabulous to watch those two working off each other. And Dom's mustache needs a fucking Oscar. That thing is just amazing.
They need to bury that thing next to Eddie Guerrero.
I think it's the perfect homage to Vince.
Yeah, he's just
a stupid ass mustache. Dom's fucking Eddie mustache is right up there.
Vince's mustache looks like freaking Richter scale when they're on Earthquake. Dom with all of that, with the two of them going, shrugging their shoulders tonight, getting the tag belts, that was brilliant, because now it's kind of like, she just got us the belt. You know, she just got us the tag belts. We're back in there.
You are building up Rhea Ripley and Liv without Rhea being any fucking near this. It's fucking brilliant.
Yep. I'm actually liking Raw now. There's multiple elements of Raw that I want to watch, because Raw was shit a year ago. Sure. Raw was hot garbage, but now Raw is good and SmackDown is still good.
Yeah.
Which is the problem for AEW.
And Steve, you know, Hunter was on a little radio show. Well, I guess podcast, whatever it's called nowadays, you kids. Your stuff, your podcasts. What a stupid thing podcasts are.
What
a dumbass fucking thing that is. But he was on with McAfee and did confirm that in 2025 on Netflix, Raw is going to be unfucking censored.
Now, obviously, I have to temper at least some shred of this. They're not going to come out there and drop F-bombs. You're not going to be seeing titties and all sorts of shit like that. Like, it's the Attitude Era. But I could see them, you know, right now, realistically, the biggest thing that I've been able to take away from watching WWE TV that has bugged the fucking shit out of me is you can tell when a crowd is chanting something great because exactly. They do that shit for 10, 15 fucking seconds.
Or Fox.
Yeah. So
there's something going on in the...
Yeah, so Rob is muting even himself if they, for all of you listeners.
Even if they just start with that, realistically, that's going to be an improvement from how things are in terms of presentation.
So I have to pay a premium now to get retro television programming.
Yeah,
but it's not retro. This is the bullshit that you assholes come up with thinking about, oh, what the Attitude Era was. Go back and watch the fucking Attitude Era. They were bleeping shit because it was fucking cable television, USA, in the fucking late 90s.
They were, but they weren't the audience on or like bullshit. We knew they were saying bullshit. They had
so Rosie fucking what? So what? So this is it. This is your idea. Oh, the whole idea is, boy, back to the Attitude Era where the fans can say bullshit. No, and Steve, I'm with you to some extent, but I'm telling you, you're talking about Hunter. Hunter is the one who fucking was the guy going, hey, you back there, you, flash him, and getting the chicks to show their tits. I have a feeling he's going to be kind of cool with that shit. And we just had The Rock out, the fucking big boss, the CEO, using God knows what kind of fucking language that now he'll be able to use.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This is what happens when you fuck with the big boss. I was like, oh, God! Oh, yes!
It's going to be crazy. And they can now actually have rappers and heavy metal artists on who can actually play their fucking music without any...
As it should be.
Yep.
So wait, what is Tony Khan going to do now? Is he going to do lines of coke right there? Okay, at Wembley Arena, we're going to do the biggest line of coke right in the ring in front of 90,000 people. This is going to be the best cocaine that money can buy. Unlike one Hunter who can't seem to get an 8-ball to save his life.
No, we saw, there was a 2-week buzz about how, AEW had someone flashing and was kind of doing a little edge. And then again, things just.
But think about one thing, think about this. Since AEW started, they've been censoring their programming more as time has gone on. And now WWE is going in the opposite direction.
Yep.
They're getting their heads stomped on. This is like when Brian Daniels grabs them by the wrists and just stomps on their skull. Because if these little details will connect you better with the programming and get you to enjoy that much more, and AEW now edits out the crowd, that's not good for business. He needs
that's
to
not that that's so that's not their fault.
And that's the network, that's sure.
Network, and I've said this from the beginning. As soon as network starts stepping in, you have big problems. Now the again on the flip side, the difference between now and then is the fact that Vince is no longer with the company. Hunter's in control of the creative, and oh, by the way, they're not owned by WWE. They're owned by UFC, or merged with UFC. They have their own company. It's a different fucking ballgame. We keep forgetting it's not competition anymore because AEW, it was competition when you had a product in which there were enough fans to go, I don't want to watch that anymore. I want something else.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're starting to see the fans are going, okay, I've seen this. what's over there? Oh, mm-hmm. Oh, yep. That's the thing about wrestling.
They're fickle.
Constant. Yeah. It's not even fickle, but it's more so you got to remember the biggest thing about pro wrestling and what we forget as old men is that it's not for us. It's for everyone who is 10 to 15 and then 18 to 25, essentially, where that every 4 years keeps constantly rotating. And what is cool changes. And what was cool 4 years ago was AEW. And yeah. The merchandise was cool. And Hot Topic had everything. Now you look Hot Topic when they got clearance going on, see AEW merchandise going. And eventually, you know, like for instance, the difference Bullet
Club merchandise was selling big going into AEW, and then they capitalized on
right
a lot of those people.
Yeah, and the other thing too is if you really think about it, Hot Topic, right? That's what they capitalized on. The Bucks got into Hot Topic, and that's why, you know, Bullet Club and stuff was there. WWE is about to send Hulk Hogan, Charlotte Flair, all these top echelon fucking people to the Fanatics Fest in New York City in like a week or two for autograph signings. They've been with Fanatics for the past year or so. That's like, you can't get any bigger on a global scale of getting your merchandise out there. While AEW is still printing their merchandise in a warehouse in Chicago off a print machine.
Fucking print to order, too. So whenever right. you order it, you have to wait for them to fucking print it and ship it to you.
Right. Yeah. Which yeah. is, again, a missed That's opportunity. Insane.
There, he's approaching it from a very, everything he does is like a very novice kind of way. And you would think with his dad being in the Jaguars, he would have a better concept of marketing and distribution. It seems like he doesn't, and he looks like he, as we always say about the guy, he's got the money, he's got the desire, but he has no guidance.
Yeah. Yeah.
It would be like going to somebody who owns a newspaper route and going, hey, I want to open up a coffee store. How do I do it? Yeah. Well, I don't know, but you're a businessman, so you should know.
Well, but he's not even. It's also like if your dad owned the fucking newspaper business.
But he's not yet. He's not tapping his dad for the knowledge, or his dad just doesn't want to be associated with it. I don't know which it is.
I don't know. I think with Dom's mustache, Dom's actually his kid, because Shad's mustache and Dom's mustaches are definitely in competition for best mustache.
All I know is that they fucked up when Urban Meyer was in the back uploading pictures of a live event with the two lead guys, MJF and Jericho, in the truck, smiling on the match is going live, and this fucko fucking posts it. I would have thumped his skull. That never will not piss me off.
Yeah.
Well, whatever. Yeah, you know, that's great. At the other thought, it's like, why wasn't AEW tweeting those out?
Right.
That's their missed opportunity too, is they don't publicize their shit enough. You know, Swerve should have a top fucking 20 album right now.
Yep.
Period.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely should.
Yeah, so. WWE will milk every single thing. That was almost to the detriment of the person, because then they were going, hey, your content, we get a cut of it. They did that to Vega. They're like, oh, we want a cut of your fucking, you know, your Twitch page. Yeah. Every time you fucking do some Japanese kawaii bullshit, we want a piece of it, because guess what? You're only famous at all because of us.
But again, that was Vince.
Yep.
Now, with Nick in there, the fucking door's open, because again, you have him answering to a bunch of different people, and Nick is a Hollywood guy. Everything's capitalized. We'll give you a taste, but if you can create it and we can sell it, we're gonna fucking do it. Fuck it.
There's more money to be made by being equitable with your fucking talent. And if they could do something out like Austin Creed, you know, Xavier Woods, if you could find a way to do it and get more money out of them by extension, do it instead of trying to, you know, suck them for every penny they got. What the hell is her name? Asuka. Her page is pretty cool. Her going through Japan and meeting all of her fans.
Yeah.
Her putting together IKEA furniture was entertaining.
So final thing we talked about before we wrap up, Jacob Fatu is now part of the Bloodline. Steve, double agent?
Yeah. So it really wouldn't surprise me if it comes to be that he is a double agent sent in by Roman. One thing that I picked up on is if you look at the faces of the Tongans when Solo is having everybody to put up the ones, the two Tongans are unsure because they obviously weren't smartened up to this guy showing up. Or at least that is the story that it looks like they're trying to tell. So maybe already planting the seeds for things to come down the road. I really do have to say that the intro that Jacob Fatu had more of an impact than any other person that has come into WWE in my recent memory whatsoever. Immediately the dude looked like a savage. He destroyed virtually all of the baby faces and he drives Cody through that table with that crazy splash. And the thing is, guys, Jacob Fatu was doing a lot of crazy shit at a much heavier weight. And now that he's toned up and lost some more pounds, dude, this guy could make a huge, huge statement.
Now, ignorance of my
all respect to Solo and him running things on that side, I could easily see it get to the point where if they don't do the double agent storyline, they could have Jacob Fatu usurp Solo Sikoa and take over that other side.
You also could, and everyone's talking, you know, 2-on-2 Survivor Series, you know, two teams. Why couldn't you have four teams going at it? You have enough people, theoretically. Why couldn't you have, you know, 16 people in a fucking Survivor Series match, literally the whole fucking Bloodline?
Well, you would have the Tongans, the Usos. Those are four right there. Who else? Yeah. Roman Reigns, who would he tag with?
Roman, Rock, Solo, Fatu. So eight. We're at eight right now. You know, there are more people that can come in. That's the thing.
Don't forget they registered the trademark for Tala Tonga too. Yeah. So that's gonna be Hikuleo's name. Hikuleo. Yeah. He's gonna be fucking Tala Tonga.
Yeah.
Because he's Tala.
Yeah.
They don't want to use Hikuleo or they don't have the rights to it.
No. No, I think he wanted a name change. WWE wanted a name change as well.
Yeah.
So. I just want to hear the Tongans come out to Gorillas of Destiny theme because that's a dope ass theme.
Hell yeah.
Indies always have better themes. But again, I'm going to say this. You've got women in the Bloodline that you're not using. Two at least. Why not bring them in? Because I'll be honest, again, Nia Jax on her own, boring. If you have her in the background just as a thug type, beat up the women, bring her in the Bloodline, expand it out to the women too. And Trinity, Naomi.
Yeah, and you also have Tamina. You have three. You have three that are on your roster out of potential four teams. That's what I'm saying. So literally, we are down to needing one more woman and four more dudes, or three more dudes.
And is Tamina retired, or is she retired, or is he just
Tamina?
Yeah,
she's not retired.
Because where has she been?
Backstage, probably at catering. Yeah.
Catering.
Yeah. But I would like to see her and Nia Jax come out. I would like to see them do Naomi too. Come out with the Usos and be in their corner. That would be that's a layup. It's a layup. It's an absolute layup. It's so simple. Nia Jax picking a side, so simple. She threw up the ones at that award show. Like, I don't know if she's behind the scenes, and they said, "Nah, it's not going to work."
At the award show.
No, but she did that. When I saw that, I went, "Okay, so you everything that WWE does, which we've been talking about, is pretty intentional. They don't have something like that just happen." Unless Nia Jax does
what she wants when she wants, and I don't think that was ever told to her. She just probably fucking did it because she's
maybe
don't give a shit.
But I, as a fan, as a mark, whatever the fuck you want to say, I would like to see somebody who's 6 feet tall who once threw around R-Truth and ragdolled him and a few other guys do something different in the ring. I think that would really, really, really bring her to another level. It would definitely be good. This is going to be my new Jade Cargill.
She needs to beat the fuck out of Jade Cargill first. So,
yes, fine. Agreed. I'm completely happy with that. I'm completely happy with her doing something that's going to get on.
So now we know exactly the type of porn you watch.
This will be Timbers.
All right, final thoughts, Steve.
Thank you guys for hanging out with us this week. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, doing all the stuff that you guys do. We appreciate each and every one of you. Also, very special shout out and thank you to all the brave men and women serving this country, whether you're doing it on lands, foreign, or domestic. Thank you for doing what you do so that we can do what we love to do. And last but not least, repsports.com, repsports.com. Go there for all your pre-workout, weight loss, general energy needs. Repsports.com. Use promo code Vegas at checkout. Save yourself 15%.
Hey, Steve, you realize for the past 5 years you've been saying PP every week?
I know. PP poo poo, baby. That's just a sample. Like, that dude, we didn't even talk about the bullshit with Ultimo Guerrero on Collision.
Yeah.
Why was he in a mask when he was unmasked 10 years ago? But. So
what you're saying is you're poo pooing Ultimo Guerrero.
I'm poo pooing on the idea that. He showed up to the venue and they were like, "Where's your mask?" He said, "I don't have one." And so they got with the fucking with the alterations team in the back and they made him a fucking mask.
Now wait a minute, isn't that considered disrespectful to the luchador like customs? If you get unmasked, you're not allowed to do it. The only one who's ever done that is Rey Mysterio because he was unmasked in WCW.
That was all Vince. That was all Vince too that put him back under a mask, but. Yeah, like Ultimo Guerrero couldn't see shit out of the mask. And literally Okada had probably the worst match that I've ever seen him compete in on TV on Collision.
And the crowd was so fucking dead because it was
unreal. Okay. It was unreal.
But again, this goes back to saying you're building storylines and then you follow the next week with a non sequitur match. You don't do a fucking random banger match off the tapes if it has nothing to do with the storyline you're building up.
The thing is, by all accounts, it should have been a decent match, or if they would have let him go in and do it, because Ultimo Guerrero has accomplished a lot in this business. And when they announced the match, a lot of people were like, "Holy shit, this is going to be fucking good." And then it was what it was.
But next week, when we kind of get back into it, when MJF shows up and Roosh is nowhere in the picture, and he won't be, you're going to go, "Well, what the hell was the point of that?" Roosh gets nothing off that. MJF gets nothing off that.
Yeah,
exactly. And the match was good, but the match wasn't as good as it could have been because there would have been more story to it. Right. You got
more investment.
Invest. Exactly. You know, I mean, that's as simple as it is. You know, you guys were at FSW. You saw that crowd there of some 500 people, a lot of those people, maybe 65 to 75%. It was the first time they've ever been to a live wrestling show. And you could it was a huge new crowd.
Wow, and that's dope.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was huge. It was a big number of new people. And you could tell that even though the stories were not known to these people, they were invested in the matches because of what was being told story-wise, right?
People in the beer aisle were still focused on the match.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a great point. That's a very good point. You know, when you're waiting 20 minutes in line for a drink and you're still watching the product.
Yeah.
That's impressive. And the reason is because, again, these guys are telling a story. They know what the backstory is. And when you know what the backstory is and you have investment into it, then it conveys to an audience. The problem that AEW is having is that, let's be honest, it's hard to walk into that job now and see that crowd and feel like I need to go out there and excel. And that's not a knock on anyone. It's just what happens as a performer. Rob, you know this too.
Walked into an arena that seats 16,000 in Canada, the center arena, I forget what it's called, and he performed to 3,000 people. And that guy is a top WrestleMania level talent. He's got to be kicking himself, going, "I left WWE."
He's not. He's not.
I know we can say, but I would be. I would be going, "Yeah, well, I'm at the end of my career, fine, but." To have, you know,
but
you see, my name not bring the people.
You have to balance out, though. You have to balance out. A guy like him, it doesn't fucking matter. There's a reason he's there. Christian's there. Christian said, "Hey, come here. Let's finish our run, blah, blah, blah." Tony said, "Here's a fucking truck and take that money." Beth was cool with it. The kids were cool with it. That's why you do it. They don't give a fuck. They can do whatever they fucking want. Jericho can do whatever he wants. Moxley can do whatever he wants. These guys have wash,
right? But all the rest of them were trying to
build the guy up. Yeah, it's the guys who, you know, are going out there and they're doing these matches. Like, you know, a guy like Okada comes out there, he has a certain standard, right? And when you go out there and you have a match like you just had, there's got to be some kind of frustration when you get back.
Yeah.
If it's not just on yourself, exactly. You know, guys like, I mean, guys like Chuck Taylor and Trent Beretta and, you know, guys at that level who had seen the big crowds and got that fucking energy from that crowd. Now to go and perform in front of this, it's tough. You know, I'm sure Statlander and, you know, people who were there at the beginning and, you know, and especially the, like FTR, you know, FTR, you know, it's just got to be killing them that they know that the association of what it was, where here they are with Punk, they're starting a new fucking television show together.
And now they're not.
And now it's, yeah, now it's like one's hurt, one's now kind of in limbo.
I'm going to go and take a left turn on this. We are wrapping it up, but I got to see one person in person at FSW. I was leaving to go get a drink because at the first half of the whole show, you couldn't get a fucking drink. And I bump into Chris Bay and I said, "I got a question. Are you guys just ABC or are you still Bullet Club?" And he goes, "We're still Bullet Club." And then he came out and his entrance music was Bullet Club music. So that makes me hopeful that at least on these indie promotions, or lower tier promotions, that Bullet Club is still a thing, because a lot of places were not advertising their Bullet Club offshoots as Bullet Club. Bullet Club Gold is now the Bang Bang Game, and TNA Bullet Club, Ace and Austin, were just ABC. So I guess that's still a thing. That could still be something that shows up in the future as maybe some sort of Forbidden Door thing. If they don't do that and bridge that gap between those three promotions in some way, they'd be an idiot.
The problem is this, and again, if it was 4 or 5 years ago, it would make all the sense in the world. But what happened to Bullet Club? It went through the cycle. The popularity was fucking off the hook. And one of the stories that I've always heard is that Tony Khan actually noticed people wearing Bullet Club shirts, had no fucking clue what Bullet Club was, asked someone about it, was told, and that's how he got his attention to the Young Bucks and to Cody and what was going on with All In is because he saw the merchandise. And all of a sudden, two and two clicked in his head because Tony was primarily a WWE guy. That's it. That's how simple shit is when you see merchandise and you're not familiar with something. Think of how many bands out there, you know, some kid wearing a fucking band shirt from a band they saw, and you're like, wow, that's a cool fucking logo.
Well, my thing is, I just wanted to get that thought out there because that was, I've been talking about that for weeks, and then I run into the guy and I'm like, oh, fuck, the horse's mouth. I'm never going to get a better. And by the way, that guy's great. A lot of the guys at that show were really accessible, really nice. Hammerstone's really nice to the fans. Everyone there, really welcoming. It's the old adage of, you know, the people you meet on the way up are the ones you'll meet on the way down. So absolute great presence and great interaction with their fan base.
I was waiting for you to go, but this guy.
No.
Okay. I was waiting
for I'll be honest with you. One of the guys who gets a lot of shit for a bad attitude is Austin Aries. I've met him. He's fucking cool dude too. There was another wrestler. Somebody said is a dick, and I'm like, nah. I met the guy, and I chilled with him for like a few minutes there, and he was awesome. But we were talking about America. We were talking about Rep Sports, and using code Vegas to get a discount on your creatine. Yeah.
On your pee-pee.
That's right.
Yep. Yeah. And your pee-pee.
And your pee-pee.
Your pee-pee and your poo-poo.
If you want your pee-pee to be strong, go to Rep Sports REPP. Use the code Vegas and your PP will be like Daniel Garcia.
So speaking of PPs, Rob, you still have this Pride show coming up.
I did the Pride show last week. Okay. You know what? I did not post the pictures. They were on my Instagram. I thought the promoter was going to do a big thing, and I'm really bad at self-promotion. I'm like Tony Khan. I'll have some pictures. It's me in a patriotic blue dress with a flower and red shirt and tie, and I think my makeup was on fleek.
Oh man,
on fleek.
Yeah,
wow.
It was on,
bringing that back.
Yes, we're bringing it back on fleek.
Rob, on Thursday, you and I are going to do a Biden-Trump debate while the debate's going on.
here's my impersonation right now. You know, he lies. He lies so much. So much lying, you know. And remember, we guessed it was $1.95. $1.90. And then Biden. You know, I want to take this guy out to the back of the shed. And we're going to. And then Trump's going to be, you know, you're on a boat. You ever think about this? You're on a boat, and then there's a battery, and the boat's sinking. The boat's sinking, and there's a battery, and you can either touch the battery and get electrocuted, or then you swim out. Yeah.
This
and there's
is
a shark.
The most incoherent debate in the history.
And
of
then, and then there's a shark, and you think to yourself, "Now wait a minute, what happens? Do I get electrocuted with the battery in the boat, or do I swim out and get my arm bitten off by a shark?" That was something he said at Sunset Park in Vegas.
Yeah.
This is your choice of presidents. Neither one are fucking good. I just wanted to put that out there. I don't give a fuck what you believe in. If you think either one of these guys are good, you are fucking worse than me doing commentary and wrestling.
Yeah, no.
And that's pretty fucking bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No shit. Well, we all know that everyone
Jake
here
Cargill, Vegas, 2025.
All of us here at the Vegas Bad Boys, of course, are all Kennedy guys.
excuse me. No, I if this guy, if your candidate got it, goes, a worm ate my brain. What? Why would you have? Last week I was part of a pride show where I dressed up as Trump in drag, and I didn't do a concerted effort to promote it. But I am not dumb enough to go on to a public venue after having a really good retro commercial at the Super Bowl and saying that a worm ate my brain. But thinking about how much money he probably spent to have that Kennedy commercial run during the Super Bowl and then say that would indicate that he is correct, that a worm did indeed eat his brain. That is all.
Well, there you have it, folks.
And the views expressed here were the views of Vegas Bad Boys, because my co-hosts right here have goddamn common sense.
Next week, we bring back DJ Impact, and he has promised to sing O Canada since he's been on his 3-week Canadian.
They never let him on the Canadian side. He was only allowed to look at it. I'm a New Yorker. The New York side is a shithole.
It is.
You go on the New York side, there's a bridge and an international flag. The New York side has a transformer with garbage swirling around it.
Yeah.
The Canadian side has a public works guy constantly cleaning up the cigarette butts that fly over the bridge.
And not only that, but that Canadian side is like a fucking theme park. Like, it's like if Amsterdam was like legal shit. It's just...
But it's so clean. Crazy. You can literally eat off the floor. Like, if your food fell on the floor in Canada, I'd go like, all right.
That's what we got to ask DJ if he was eating food off the streets of Canada.
Oh, we serve our poutine right on the streets there, don't you know? It's pretty good food there, eh?
Again, Steve, that just brought up poo once again with the poutine. So...
And you can get your poutine you supplements at Rep Sports, R-E-P-U-T-E-N.
I'm telling you right now, if you eat your protein from Rep Sports, then you'll have poutine in the morning. So on that note, everybody, it's been a great show, and it's been fun, and we hope you enjoy the rest of your week.